Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture. Michael Sidgwick taking a well-earned break after WrestleMania to discuss everything that happened on the Raw after WrestleMania. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also AEW, Dynamite, NXT, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to review the Raw after WrestleMania. And it didn't really feel like the Raw after WrestleMania, if we're perfectly honest, did it?
Oh, God. How can I talk about this show without talking about this show, especially in the absence of Sidgwick, the far more articulate of the two Dadleys? Many, many, many years ago, I'm talking a lifetime before I got to do this for a living, blessed as I am, every day, I was bouncing around in admin jobs that I was no good at, from one to another that I was trying to be good at, because I could buy shirt tie combos from Asda, but I was never as good as I could have been. My gift was not being wasted. My gift was to recite pointless trivia on YouTube videos and in podcasts and in articles. It wasn't to do effective filing. I was not an effective filer. I believe in admin. I believe it's a skill. I did not have that skill, but I certainly had lots of jobs where I attempted to have that skill. And I left to one I really liked to go back to an old admin job I had. I'd worked there several years ago and the company was tiny. And then I left. And for several years, the owner of that tiny company very kindly tried to ask me to come back. He would make various offers and things like that. And I'd worked a few years in another job. And then he came at me once with this offer that I just couldn't turn down. There was less working hours. There was a really good pay rise. And he showed me around how the little company had gone to become quite a big company. And how, like, the things that I didn't like at the time had changed. And it was, you know, it was like milk and honey. I couldn't believe it. So I took his offer. I got there. And on the first day, he said, he showed me what he called the database that was once just a manually entry spreadsheet that I had to update. He paid money for this expensive database. And I opened the database and I've been looking in media that I engage with for most of my adult life to find something that replicated the feeling when I opened the database that showed me that I've made one of the worst career decisions of my entire life. The panic that kind of set in, the colour that I could see draining through my face because the monitor was one of them really old-fashioned CRT ones where you could see a reflection of yourself the whole time, because the glare of the sun from the eye in the window that he hadn't paid for the good blinds for meant that that's all I could see anyway. It was like one of the most depressing days of my life. It's a nice ending because I had a few months there, and luckily, because I'd not burnt any bridges in an old job, they were like, do you want to come back? And I was like, yes, please. And I just never spoke of it again. I've been looking for years to try and finally cut that long story short for something that replicated that dread. And let me just say, when it cut to the desk and Adnan Virk was welcoming us to Monday Night Raw, I got it. I saw it. He looked and he said, thanks, guys, for carrying me through this broadcast. And there was Corey and there was Byron going, you don't know the fucking half of it, mate. And then as the show went on, I listened to his voice and I listened to him try and tell the stories that were being told to him through the headset. And I could feel it. I was like, oh, mate. Oh, I hope you didn't burn your last bridge. Oh, brother. Oh, God. Because he is a legitimate sports broadcaster being asked to call the least legitimate version of an illegitimate sport. My word. Like, I needed Adnan Virk's start in this bad job to let me know that none of us are alone. And, you know, I want to say that it's in the UK today. Pubs opened yesterday, but as well as pubs opening yesterday, it meant that a lot of people went back to their place of work for the first time in a long time. And I just want to say to anybody listening today, because we know we've got some like incredible people that work for the NHS, saving lives, doing a real job compared to what we do. There's people working in public service that have put their lives on the line every day throughout this pandemic. Take today, while listening to this podcast, to just think to yourself, well, I'm not Adnan Virk. I might be exposed to COVID-19. I might be putting my head on the block yet again, but I wasn't Adnan Virk last night.
You know the meme of like photos taken seconds before disaster. Someone could screenshot the opening of Raw with subtitles on with Adnan Virk saying, "Tonight's going to be the thrill of a lifetime." I can only imagine him walking. It's ESPN he used to work for, right?
Yeah.
He's walking out of the ESPN offices. Charlie Caruso's walking in. Hey, Charlie. Anything you need to tell me about heading to the old WWE? Just shakes his hand and does the thing that every wrestling fan and their best mate has done since the beginning of time. Shakes his hand and says, "Hey, good luck." And he goes to walk away. And she pulls him back in and says, "I'm going to need it." Because, oh my God, crashing back down to earth with the, you know, I'm generally the positive one on these podcasts, aside from a few flashes of issues, let's just say. And I was like, you know what? There's been some, I mean, the blue brand quite clearly won WrestleMania and had all the good stuff that we're going to be excited to talk about on Friday. But I'm in a big, big mood ahead of tonight's Raw. It's the Raw after WrestleMania, and people are saying, oh, the Raw after WrestleMania isn't a thing anymore. 2019 was rubbish. 2020 was, you know, obviously affected by the ongoing global bastard. And now they're going to go back to the Thunderdome. There's no fans and stuff. And I was like, yeah, there is going to be no fans. But surely, they're taking a step back, watch what succeeded at WrestleMania, particularly when it comes to unscripted promos, WWE. And you know what? Hey, in the words of my favourite wrestler of all time, The Rock, you all right. It wasn't. It was a bag of crap. And the big... I feel like it's a bit trolling, because I've put, as part of the headline for this podcast, I've put major post-mania returns. And it's a bit of a bait and switch, but that's WWE. What do you bloody expect? We got Charlotte Flair back. Okay. We got the Viking Raiders. Good to see them. And we got Lily.
And it, like, and does that even count as a return? Somebody on Reddit at some point will show us Lily was actually in the Firefly Funhouse on the 18th of October 2019, long-term storytelling, actually. I think you'll find that the doll that somebody found in the back of someone's car boot in the Titan Towers car park can now be classed as some sort of like long-term continuity. Yeah, I think you've raised quite a good point there before we like finally have to break this down piece by piece, is that this, I thought this was a terrible wrestling show, spoiler, like we don't need to wait till the end. Like, and yet it's only now that you've said that has it made me realise how much worse it was, because we had it to contrast against WrestleMania. Like, if WrestleMania's light was green, as it always is, Raw's was red, and it was nothing to do with the colour of the ropes, as Seth Rollins would like to remind us, absolutely nothing. I just wanted to stop. I just want this to stop. Like, I want Monday Night Raw to stop being what Monday Night Raw is and be something else. I saw a few tweets, and I'm digging nobody out in particular because there was a broad enough range of them, suggesting that part of, I'm going to pick on The Fiend here, but, you know, part of The Fiend's thing was that, well, wrestling is all things to all people. And you've got to allow jack-in-the-box-like structures if you want to get your Sasha Banks and Bianca Belairs. I mean, that's bollocks, but people think it, and so be it. I want Raw to stop presenting itself as a wrestling show if we're going to have jack-in-the-box-like structures and Lily, and just be, you know, just be this. You know how we say, like, with the latest AEW, it's like, if you being the elite things are sneaking onto Dynamite. Like, the being the Vince McMahon stuff's been sneaking onto Raw for about 20 years. So just make it that. Dude, just get rid of the match. Like, I've gone for Vince Russo. You know what this show needs, bro? Get rid of the ring.
I couldn't get over reading the news this morning that the long-term plan was for The Fiend to beat Randy Orton, as we all expected, with 6 months build. And then Vince woke up and went, nah, I'll have Randy win. And then all people going, oh, have you seen what they've done? And also, what's worse than one spooky bollocks thing on the show? Two now. We're getting two. It's doubled. You've got double the amount of spooky bollocks on this show, which means, well, congratulations to you, goo manufacturers of Florida. Well, about apart from that, don't be happy about this, right? But if you think, well, they've changed their mind, but what's next? They don't know. They have no plan involved for Bray, for Randy Orton, and particularly for Alexa Bliss. For them, so them going, oh, here's Lily, and people going, oh my God, what does this all mean? Oh, look, there's a face that looks a bit like Lily on Rhea Ripley's gear. We're going to have a return of Alexa Bliss to the rest of the week. No, you're not. They just don't know what to do, so they've gone, put a sodding doll on telly and make it go at the end.
I love it, man. I love it. Like, imagine being a person who asked, within good reason, we didn't really get a payoff to the old being burned alive by that guy, did we? And then some people replying earnestly, excuse me, finish it from the guy that you've built a sports entertainment from the ground up, it'd be Randy Orton. That's not a payoff. I don't know what you're watching for. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm watching for either, mate. Like, you can't argue that against me. I've been looking in the mirror every day and questioning it for like a couple of decades now.
It's such a weird thing, right? I don't accept that the Raw after WrestleMania is just a normal show now. It shouldn't be, right? I get it that you know, you can't just have all your part-timers come in and, as we'll talk a little bit later on, sonner just some people who are there week in, week out, and then go, cheers, everyone, right? And also, it's a weird dynamic, and I get that this is just what happens, that after WrestleMania, WWE goes into this lull, into this slump. But why? Why doesn't just keep the ball rolling? It's like, and it's difficult to do a comparison, of course, here, because, like, the football season ends and then restarts again. But it's like your favourite team winning the league, right? And then next week, inexplicably, the league has started again, right? And they go out, not only lose, deliberately lose, score 5 home goals. Because I don't understand how you turn around and go, right, well, that's finally got all the fans on side, got this huge amount of buzz, mainly for the SmackDown brand, but still, how are we going to continue this? Let us pump the brakes. You know the start of WrestleMania when they went, hey, it's WrestleMania, but it's bloody raining quite a lot, so let's just calm down before we can actually start WrestleMania. Why have they done that to the fan base?
And, like, the company knows it's happening, right? We're veering all over the place because obviously we're both trying to put off actually talking about this show. But this happened in this show, so I'm allowed. This leapt out to me, right? Corey Graves, Rhea Ripley was either entering or the match had like just started. I'm talking within like the first minute of Rhea Ripley versus Asuka. We're saying like WrestleMania was last night, but it might as well have been 10 years ago. It's like, well, for me then, what was the point of all that? Right there. Hope you enjoyed your hotel pizza, Rhea Ripley, because them days is over, brother. Like, back to work, loser. Like, you think that was something? And then without a shade of irony, Royal Rumble season, they're going to be like, come on, you need to get focused for WrestleMania 38. Like, what, for 24 hours? I'm with Charlotte. You take a month off and come back fired up. Like, honestly, I'm with Bailey. Like, work the year of your life that people actually remember so you don't have to take any bumps at WrestleMania apart from one to Nikki Bella. Work smart, people. Like, who had a harder shift over WrestleMania weekend? Bad Bunny or Logan Paul? Like, big boy brains.
Oh, God. Let's talk about this sodding show then. It started with Bobby Lashley, WWE champion, arriving, signing autographs like the heel that he is.
maybe. Was he not? Are you sure he wasn't signing checks for the suit companies? Because the man looks amazing.
Oh, Jesus. Only Bobby Lashley can pull off an orange suit.
Awesome.
Bobby, you going to wear that? Yeah, I am. You got a problem with that? Nope. Then Riddle rolls up, and I've this is how fast I gave up on note taking. I just went, he comes up and annoys Bobby Lashley into a match, basically.
I love how when Raw rolls on now, it does so on a scooter.
So he comes in, he challenges Bobby Lashley to a match. Bobby Lashley quite rightly points out, hang on, didn't you lose? You lost the United States Championship. You got your head kicked in by Sheamus. And Riddle's just like, yeah, well, that was only WrestleMania. Let's move on. It's a week till 420. He talks weed stuff and stoner chat, basically. He's that annoying mate of yours who just rattles on bollocks, whether he's on drugs or not, basically. Lashley gets wound up, pushes him over. Lashley says there were winners and losers, and he's going to show Riddle the difference between the two of them tonight. And speaking of losers, then we cut to Adnan Virk. Welcome to the Night Raw.
Welcome to the Night Raw. What have I done? Anyway, on tonight's show, I want to retract everything I said in the introduction to this podcast, because it turns out that Vince McMahon's favourite thing is also my favourite thing, which is just like brutalising Matt Riddle whenever he's within 5 foot of a scooter. Because it wasn't just in this promo, it was in the match as well. And what happened to him with Sheamus the other week. He's seen how visually hilarious it is when this guy is on the scooter and takes a kick in off a giant man. He loves that. That's his new favourite thing.
Yeah, it's because the show then, we had the match to start the show. And it was just 10 minutes of Bobby Lashley beating up Riddle. And they are, like you say, they're going to turn around in 6 months and be like, hey, ex-MMA guy Riddle, no one can stop him. Yes, they can. Lashley chucked him around like an empty tracksuit, in the words of Adam Nicholas. He literally jumped him as he was going, wee, around him. On his scurry. Lashley went, battered him, beat him up. Love the delayed vertical suplex that Lashley does. Yeah. He never fails to. When he does the delay vertical suplex and puts that arm out to be like, come on, give me some support. I am actually at home going, fair play that, mate. That's incredible. Riddle does come back a bit, but then goes to the phone, bro. Lashley just moves out of the way and put him in the Hurt Lock. And that was it. Job done.
I mean, it's weird.
Why didn't he use the clever tactic of tapping out when the referee wasn't looking?
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot all about that. That's a thinker. This was it's weird. Like, I might not like when Matt Riddle gets pushed, but I find it extremely odd that a push turns into a title loss followed by a 10-minute squash. That is a strange pivot, should we say, for a character. But yeah, it was visually really entertaining, because when's Bobby Lashley battering a guy not visually entertaining? Mm. And this would be the time to praise it, because you go off your first impressions. And I feel like we're going to be negative about so much stuff on this that we'll get accused of just ripping apart the show without being even-handed. I really like the new Thunderdome set. There you go.
Yes.
I think that new entranceway is really, really quite aesthetically pleasing. That empty space that I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, because I didn't really notice it was empty space until they filled it. And now they've filled it, I was like, oh yeah, what was all that empty space doing there? Like, I think it looks really, it's like a castle of people that all these people walk out of. I liked it.
We had Kevin Patrick, who's backstage chatting with the new Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley. They announced that Rhea was going to defend the title against Asuka again tonight. I immediately thought, well, that's not going to a finish. We'll see how that plays out later on. And like I said, they watched the first night of WrestleMania, where for the first 40 minutes they went, oh, what are we going to do? We've put Samoa Joe in a poncho. That's funny. But we need to sort of fill the time. Let's just have people talk. But wait a second, we haven't told them what to say. What are they going to do? I don't know. Put a mic in Kevin Owens' hand and let's see what happens, eh? Yeah. Well, they took all that experience and they went, well, put all that in the bin. Let's make them do the most scripted promos you've ever seen. Same Rhea Ripley, perfect personification of it. I had enough self-confidence to challenge Asuka on my first night and beat her WrestleMania. This is the reign of the brutal world order. Oh, my God. And right. I'll be ready for Asuka tonight.
Zach Morris, freeze frame, Brutality World Order, Brutal World Order, whatever it was. Are they Wilborn? There are 26 letters in the alphabet, mate, right? Are they going to make a BWO t-shirt? Did they not watch their own show? Not even just ECW. Did they not watch their own show in the mid-2000s?
Hey, to realize, mate.
Not 26, that's not fair. That's not fair. There's an N in the alphabet as well. You got 24 letters to choose from if you're going to put something for WO on a t-shirt, and they've gone with B.
They've gone, start at the beginning, they've gone AWO. Well, we can't do that because Wilborn and Cleary and Nicholas have had that one. B. But the thing is, you're there like, oh, do they not remember them in the noise? They don't remember Dabba Sodding Kato, as if they're going to remember.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Blue Meanie and his mates.
That's it. Well, the Blue Meanie's just become a Rhea Ripley's nickname, isn't it? Like, she's going to have a BWO t-shirt. Oh, she's a Blue Meanie.
When are we going to... We have to transition her to SmackDown quickly.
You know what this podcast needs, Wilborn? A bit more of Nova from the BWO. If only we could find some of that somewhere on this podcast. You know?
One day, mate, one day. Anyway, next up, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, who've had an incredible time as part of the Hurt Business. No entrance for them anymore. Yeah, there you go, lads. Thanks for playing. We're just going to shove you out there as the two jobbers to face our returning superstars, or superstar, I should say. Eric's been there. He's just been sitting in catering or getting eliminated quite easily in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, or occasionally getting involved in 24/7 title bollocks. But anyway, Ivar is back. The Viking Raiders are back. I'm genuinely pleased to see Ivar back, and Eric and Ivar tagging, and the Viking Raiders doing great Viking Raiders stuff. Let's just try and forget about the whole... Oh, Ivar is sexy, but Eric, not sexy. How about you just murder people like they did here? Beat him in like 5 minutes. It was some offense, at least, I suppose, for Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin hit an angle slam, actually. Then Ivar gets the hot tag and does all of his great stuff. His cartwheels, his just all the stuff he shouldn't be able to do. Shoulder tackles, crossbody, seated senton. Takes both of them out with a double clothesline and tags Eric in. They hit the Viking experience and they win. Genuinely great to see these two back together again.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like over the years we started to like the analogy well is starting to run dry in ways to describe these Raw television matches that you kind of enjoy. I guess it's like drowning to death in Evian. Because you can be like, oh, I'm drowning. But isn't this water just the nicest, purest water that there is?
You like, put some respect on Buxton Water's name, first of all.
pick your poison. This was a very, much like the opener, this was a very pleasing exhibition of pro wrestling that you like to see, where stars are very clearly established on one side of the ring, but you're left scratching your head about all the universe stuff. It's kind of like difficult to parse all of it. Ivar coming back is particularly nice because when guys are gone for such a long time, you wonder if like they're going to have lost a step. You want, like, it's such a big thing to recover, like to sort of recover from so long on the shelf. And he looked bang in the mood. He was ready to throw his body into everything. And you're just like, right, if that means the recovery time's gone longer or the rehab's been great, fantastic. Viking experience. Sorry, Viking Raiders. So necessary because the division's in the bin. Where were the new tag team champions tonight?
Yeah, no, I thought this.
You know, so like the New Day, just no sell everything. So have a set of challenges that you actually want to see fight for the titles. It's going to be a while because if you're me, like if I'm in charge of any of this, you keep the belts on AJ and Omos for quite a long time and you keep the Viking Raiders a long way away from them because you want to see the Viking Raiders tackle Omos. There's something, you know, like they've got something here. So now go about finding something else for the Viking Raiders to do until Omos and AJ Styles await. Cedric Alexander and Shelton fucking Benjamin. I mean, people just think we just criticise everything on these podcasts. So let me just be the first to say, I'm not going to have a go at them being booted out of the Hurt Business and being reduced to jobbers, because at least by the end of this show, it turns out that Bobby Lashley and MVP don't need two mates. If I was to be critical of that, that would be really illogical. So thank goodness that all of a sudden MVP and Bobby Lashley didn't need two mates. Otherwise, it'd be pretty stupid that Cedric and Shelton were reduced to complete losers after a fortnight, wouldn't it? It'd be pretty stupid. But that didn't happen. So... I've got no room to criticise any of this. No room at all. Good, good television match.
Asuka cuts a backstage promo. She's very fired up. She's disappointed about losing. She said it was a nightmare, but she would once again become champion. All the usual stuff here. And then we got another huge post-WrestleMania return. Charlotte Flair, but as a heel? She's always been a heel. I can't believe we have to explain this, WWE. She's not a babyface just because a dad shagged someone, right? And like I said, scripted sodding promos. I realise I'm, you know, going over old ground here and beating a drum that's, well, about as useful as the drums that were ringside for the Nigerian drum fight. Let's say that for SmackDown. Anyway, Charlotte Flair comes out. She says she wasn't welcomed at WrestleMania, presumably unlike that bloke who was like, well, tested positive, but I'm still going to WrestleMania. That tweet that everyone jumped all over over the weekend. She said, here's how to make WrestleMania feel like a big deal, but she said, not a big deal to miss one. Oh, okay. Thanks for telling me.
Corey Graves agreed later on. 24 hours ago, more like 24 years ago. Get, you move on, you loser.
She said, people told her it wasn't a big deal to miss one, though, because she's been in five already. But she said it was unacceptable that she wasn't included. It wasn't her fault that Asuka needed a new tag partner. It wasn't her fault that her dad made an arse of himself on Legends Night. It wasn't her fault that Lacey Evans got pregnant, meaning she couldn't kick her ass at Mania. And I, for a split second there, I went, oh, God, yeah. At least we got, I mean, Rhea Ripley versus Asuka, people weren't huge fans of, but we got Rhea Ripley as world champion, and we didn't get Lacey Evans versus babyface Charlotte Flair. So actually, maybe it was a great match. Maybe actually it was five stars in comparison.
Yeah, I'm with you on the scripting complaints, but, you know, water's wet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I quite like this, you know. It's the whole presentation was imperfect, and we're going to get some of that in the match. Like, other problems have spun off of Charlotte going full heel in the way she's done here. But what they have done, I will give them some credit, is they've answered a question I feel like we were asking for about 3 months. Like, who is Charlotte Flair? She came back and won the tag belts with Asuka. And then within 24 hours, it wasn't clear if she was a heel or a babyface. The duration of their reign, it wasn't clear. That whole Ric Flair stuff was a mess because, of course, yes, it was really weird that they were constantly alluding to that him scuttling Lacey Evans in a hotel room, but then they also could never resist doing those promos where Charlotte bollocks him. So basically, nobody was likable in that whole deal, with the exception, I guess, of Lacey Evans, who was just enjoying time with a consenting adult. Like, you know, nobody was likable otherwise. This was very clear. Like, yes, it was very, very verbose in that WWE way, but ultimately, you know who she is now. She's kind of, like, there were, what I really liked was that they downplayed, like, almost the queen theatrics of it, as if she was sick of saying she was the queen, because you can't keep telling people, you have to show them.
Yeah.
And I admire the intent of this a great deal, of like, right, you know why you all hate me? It's because I'm actually quite detestable. Mm. So I'm going to ratchet that up. Like, let me lean into that again. And I think that's exactly who Charlotte Flair is. And I think that's a, like, something to welcome, because WWE can't do shades of grey. So make some more characters black and white. And that's what we got with Charlotte Flair. She is a bad guy in this division, in a division that needs heels. That did come at somebody else's expense. And we're going to get to that in the very next match.
Well, yeah, she concluded.
I know who one person is, but now I don't know who the Raw Women's Champion is. No. So I'm still left shrugging. It's just that, like, it's somebody else's direction now.
She concluded by saying, I challenged Asuka on Raw, but she didn't respond. I think she was observing social distancing, if I'm perfectly honest, to be her. It's really she said, Ripley took advantage. Ripley's a snake. She said, everyone was jumping for joy in the division that she wasn't on WrestleMania. She said, Karma's a bitch, and I am that bitch. She went through everyone who's at WrestleMania and said none of them compare to her, although she didn't mention Billy Bloody Kay. So, you know, I kind of agree with you that everyone doesn't compare to her if you don't include Billy Bloody Kay, who was genuinely one of the highlights of WrestleMania, and we don't deserve her. She said, Charlotte didn't steal opportunity. She was the opportunity. She's not going to be apologizing for being that damn good. And we should be bowing down to the 13-time champion. She wanted respect. And said to Ripley and Asuka, enjoy the match that I should be in. And then she walked off, never to be seen. Let's move on to the next match. It was Rhea Ripley versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. Best way I can describe this, back and forth as we got at WrestleMania. Just a reminder again, there's no story. There's literally no story. We had 3 weeks. One of them is, can they coexist? And that's why people weren't fans of that match. And this match as well was kind of botchy. You know, Ripley put the standing cloverleaf on Asuka. She gets a rope break. Then she just plows her into the mat. And then there's a bit where they're trying to do some sort of electric chair, but it just sort of fall over. And Ripley goes to hit a Samoan drop. But Asuka is the one who gets the attempted pinfall off the back of it. Anyway, Ripley eventually slams her. They brawl to the apron. Asuka hits Ripley with a DDT on there. And then Charlotte comes in. Oh, who saw this coming? No finish to the title match on the Raw WrestleMania. Are you kidding me? Charlotte lays them both out, does the whole thing, and mocks them and walks off. Like, I said this on the news. I hate all of this, but I kind of like it also. Because Charlotte's a heel. That's good. Ripley and Asuka still have unfinished business. So that's something I do want to see again, if they genuinely invest and put a story in. And You've got like the next two pay-per-views sorted. You have a triple threat with these three for the title, which Ripley retains beating Asuka. And then Charlotte goes, well, that's all well and good, but you never beat me. And then they face off. It's like quite, they've just sort of stumbled into it, but it's a decent story, perhaps.
I can appreciate that. I can appreciate your layout. I can appreciate virtually nothing else about this match. It's a bad match. It was a really bad match. And the problem there is, of course, if you are going to go ahead with your idea, you have got to sell people on Rhea Ripley versus Asuka off the back of two pretty rubbish matches between Rhea Ripley and Asuka.
Yeah.
Less than ideal. Like that, it's a graphic more than it is a match at this point, because you've got to believe that the wrestlers you know them to be are going to have a better match than the matches they've already had. A bit too much evidence stacking up against that combination working. They can turn it around, but that's less than ideal. This wasn't any good. Watches are never ideal, but when they take you out of the match as profoundly as the two back-to-back ones did here, there was no way back for it. The bigger issue remains the issue at WrestleMania, and it's what we've said about Charlotte Flair until tonight, ironically. I don't know who Rhea Ripley is, and I don't think she does.
No.
I think that's a major problem. I think you can see it written on her face. She's so young, man. She's 24. Like, that's incredible. Like, she's incredible for 24. Incredible.
Yeah.
We talk about MJF, around the same age, isn't he? And you cannot believe that somebody has the promo chops of an MJF at that age. I can't believe that Rhea Ripley's got the wrestling chops at that age. She's light years better than her age suggests. But the problem is, she's in a company that is hyper-controlling of a person's personality and will not know, like the right hand won't know what the left hand's doing. So you'll take one direction from somebody and then another one from another that contradict each other. And you've got to go out and try and make all that work. She's 24 years old. Like, the version of me that in that story that I said at the start of the podcast was older than 24. And he was scratching his head, taking stupid jobs with bad databases. Rhea Ripley's a War Women's champion, wrestling in front of like thousands of people, and on this show that somehow miraculously still gets nearly 2 million viewers. Like, I feel sympathy for the real life Rhea Ripley, rather than being able to understand the motivations of this character. You were very astute in your assessment of the SmackDown triple threat about having the babyface, the heel, and the tweener work for the chemistry of the match. I think it really did. I think you were proven completely right. This is that done badly. You have a heel, you have a baby face, and then you have whatever the hell Rhea Ripley is. she's got the belt. So you can't be saying, what's her motivation? Who is she? When she's the one with the title. That's a disaster in action. Charlotte Flair's beatdown came across great. So already they've established a heel who you're kind of starting to root for. Night one. She looks really great in the beatdown. Like, I know who Charlotte Flair is now. I'm not taking any anymore. I don't care if you cry. I don't care if people respect you, ask her. Like, I'm the best at this. And I'm going to prove it over and over again until I'm validated with that belt. I know exactly who that character is. I've lost sight of who Rhea Ripley is. And I've lost belief that Rhea Ripley and Asuka can be a good match. Your layout and your roadmap is ideal. The components make it less so.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's move on, and we move to the back where Miz and Morrison are walking through in a really good mood for a team who just got their heads kicked in at WrestleMania on Saturday. Anyway, Miz greets his gorgeous wife, Maryse, and Morrison, I do kind of like this, already laying the breadcrumbs of this inevitable breakup. Morrison's like, what's she doing here?
And he's like, good stuff.
Well, she's my guest on Miz TV, which I think they actually revealed in a lower third earlier on in the show and just made no reference to it. It just popped up and I was like, oh, cool, guess Maryse is on Miz TV then. So that happens. And then also we have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, as we've all done, to be fair, constantly rewinding Mandy Rose falling over on the ramp. Huge pop from me, by the way, on Saturday night when Mandy Rose posted a clip that was shared all over Twitter of her sort of, you know, posing and looking all nice in one of those selfie videos that we see all over Instagram. And guess who comes in the background? But the nicest man in WWE right now, Titus O'Neil, who just comes in and goes, you're right. Happens to the best of us. What a guy. What a bloody guy. Bring him back with the pirate gimmick. Make it happen, Vince. Maybe I'll give you a free pass on Monday Night Raw if you do something like that. They're watching that. They're laughing. Rose comes in and says, oh, yeah, take it on the chin. You know, it just happens. These things happen. Jax says, it's all right, Shayna, I got this. Yeah, of course you have. Yeah. Baszler understandably leaves. Rose says, I've got a sense of humor. It doesn't really matter. It's funny when things happen when you least expect them. And then her and Dana Brooke, the baby faces, attack Nia Jax and leave her laying.
I mean, let's have a longer conversation about these guys later on, shall we?
Yeah.
But also, I just want to say that, like, I kind of empathize with Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose here Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, because what they did in this segment was rewatch and rewind and rewatch and rewind a woman's segment that really made them laugh. They were rewound and rewatched and rewound a woman's segment that really, really made them laugh. What's next, Wilbon?
It's Alexa's Playground.
Get in!
So we go to Alexa's Playground. She said, WrestleMania was so much fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it. People were probably wondering why she did what she did. Black goo. I don't really know what you did, to be perfectly honest. You just sort of cranked the thing. The thing came out. Then you got changed and had some black goo pour out your head. I mean, I am wondering why you did what you did. Maybe not for the reason you think. Anyway, she talks about a girl being nurtured by the darkness. I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to my heart. But as the band did, one day the darkness goes away and she realised maybe she didn't need the darkness in the first place. I don't know. Permission to Land's a great album. So,
hey, listen, the darkness, thanks to Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells End, they tour once every 2 years and they play that album in full. Like, of course they do. I love the darkness, but Jesus Christ. And then they have Artificial Snowdrop when they're playing the Christmas song. It's one of my favourite games. One of my favourite every other year experiences is going to see In the Darkness live. Treat yourself if you ever catch them on tour. They're well worth your time. There was a period in the sad sort of postscript of Permission to Land where I saw them once. I think I've seen them about 5 or 6 times where Justin Hawkins cut his hair.
What?
He came out in it was still a pretty cool looking suit, but he came out in a turquoise suit instead of his spandex.
Yeah.
Like body cat suit thing. And I was like, oh, this isn't great. And then the songs were still awesome. But then, like, 2 years later, all of it was back and the cat suit was back. And that was like, you know, that's what he's there for.
I probably would have reacted to that same way. Do you remember when that one week, I think it was literally 1 week where they had Dolph Ziggler managed by Vicky Guerrero and she just went, yeah, dye your hair brown. And I was like, the most generic wrestler I've ever seen, Dolph.
Cut it off. Cut it too long. What about all those other wrestlers with their, like, what about you, Ultimate Warrior? Cut it off. Brown. Brown. What brown? Poo brown, crap cup of tea brown, dad's willy when you're a kid brown, any brown, just brown, pick a brown.
Ironic, really, because this segment and this character was really not growing on me. Alexa said, how do you think this girl felt when she realised she could do everything on her own? And they showed her throwing a fireball in Ranyorn's face, which did pop me because I remembered that. And I thought it was, yeah, that was good fun, to be fair. Was the darkness helping with her? Or is it just standing in her way? Why else would she use what she was taught to destroy? I've written this down and I genuinely can't remember how this was meant to be read. So it doesn't matter. Is it true that the female of the species is the deadliest? We might not know, but we know for sure she's unlocked something truly evil along the way. Meet Lily! It's a puppet with pigtails! It's a doll! Oh, good! More bollocks like this. Their fun's just getting started. And then the puppet goes, yeah. And then that's the end of the segment. And I thought, you cheeky bastards.
Can I evoke not Frankie Money, who's going to debut on NXT tonight, preview coming later wherever you get your podcasts, but Eddie Money. Can I paraphrase Eddie Money, please, when I say, I've got two fiends on Monday night. Down in the mud, Gareth and Phil. We got two fiends on Monday night. The two of them, that's the payoff. Like, anybody, what the frig of the Randy Orton stuff then? Well, I'll tell you what the frig of the Randy Orton stuff is. More Fiend. More is always more. Bray Wyatt's not going to sell it. Alexa Bliss is not going to sell it. Just twice a week in the men's and women's division, there's going to be Fiend crack. There's going to be more black goo. If it was something on Rhea Ripley's gear, like, let her in, because she's going to get a title shot and she's going to win the belt. Like, until we get live crowds back, let's have more of this. It's the Thunderdome. It's the place where literal magic happens.
I realise WWE don't allow you to cross the streams, but I really want Cameron Grimes to come out and say, I've invested all money that I made in GameStop in black goo, and now I am a billionaire, so...
The goo!
Right, then we got Miz TV with Maryse. Maryse is on there to plug Miz and Mrs., which of course follows Monday Night Raw and Morrison. I really like John Morrison. I've said this many, many times. Like when he said, oh, hi, I'm John Morrison. My hair's so big because it contains so many secrets. That genuinely tickled me the other week. And this week, him saying, hey, how about we do a new show called Miz, Mrs. and Morrison? We could call it Mmm. I don't know why. It's so bloody stupid, but I still kind of liked it. And then, yeah. I realise the bar is incredibly low for this episode of Raw, but I just like this segment of like Miz kind of negging Morrison by going, I made you into a big superstar. Let's see what that looks like. And it's Morrison taking all the big moves at WrestleMania, basically. Miz says Bunny would be a flop without him. Damian Priest comes out and, yeah, makes a valid point. He says, even I don't want to take credit for Bad Bunny's performance. You shouldn't. He took most of the offence. It's inexplicable, Damian, if I'm honest. But he points out that Bad Bunny did beat The Miz. And Miz says, do you remember when I beat John Cena at WrestleMania? Yeah, you've mentioned it, Mike. You've mentioned it quite a lot, mate. He challenges him to a match. Morrison goes, hey, I was going to challenge him to a match. They argue. Maryse goes, why don't you just both fight him? And Damian Priest goes, I know how this is going to work. But yeah, sod it. Let's have a handicap match right now. And credit where it's due. For once, we didn't like come back from a break and they're all in their gear.
No, yeah.
He's like had his shirt open and some trousers. It was great.
Nice. Hi, Damien. Young man. Nice rub he got there. It's a shame if Monday Night Raw happened to it. Yeah. Just, God damn it, man. Like, you know, the only thing apt about The Miz being like, yeah, I beat John Cena at WrestleMania was that, yeah, wins at that show really do mean nothing, don't they? Because I was buried the next month. Like, What happened after The Miz beat John Cena? He lost immediately. And on the pay-per-view where he lost the title, nobody was talking about him the next day because John Cena revealed the news that Bin Laden had been caught and compromised to a permanent end. So, like, just so long, A-lister. Poor Damian Priest, man. At least it didn't go long. At least it wasn't the Elias kind of burial where it was just sort of, oh, well, this has gone 15 minutes, so I don't care for this character anymore. It was just, oh, he's beat him in 5 minutes, despite the fact he's wearing dress trousers and, like, sort of dancing shoes. He's pinned it. I know they cheated. I know it was short. I know. Maybe just don't have one of the big celebrity. Compare and contrast, Wilborn. Damian Priest and Bad Bunny wins a match. Bad Bunny drives away on a truck with a hand-carved dildo microphone gifted to him by Triple H in a stunningly expensive cinematic advert where it wasn't even just corporate Triple H. It was spoiling for a fight Triple H because he had a leather jacket and his Motorhead t-shirt on. He likes music too. Ah, I was there in the 80s saying, come back on, REO Speedwagon, and play another song. Yeah, that's Bad Bunny's send-off with a full complement of promotion for his tour. The guy that you pay to work 52 weeks a year loses 48 hours later.
Yeah.
I cannot understand the mindset of this. I didn't even hit, like, I like the Miz TV thing. I'm with you. I think this Miz Morrison stuff is really, really funny. Nobody stays friends forever, so it's their turn, isn't it? Yeah. Like, once a month, a team pulls a ball out of a hat and it's got their name on it, and that means that they have to fall out with each other. It's on them, but they're already doing a good job of that split. I'm enjoying watching John Morrison get sad and frustrated with the Miz. working out that after a year and a half, it turns out that getting straight back into bed with the Miz hasn't worked out that well. Like, I don't mind any of that. The match and the booking, it's so lazy, and people will just forget about it. So, yeah, there's always time to fix Damian Priest. But why break him in the first place? Mm. Why? What was the rationale for any of this? Like, just do Miz TV, where he promotes the USA show, and have Damian Priest be out of these guys' orbit. You know who was great on this show? Randy fucking Orton. And I won't say that very often, because his promo was like, if you think I'm still carrying on with that, you can forget about it. Why did Damian Priest not just do that as well?
Yeah, it's a good point. He hits his finisher on Morrison. Miz is actually the illegal man, though. He comes in, tries to hit the skull crushing finale, but Priest blocks it, and then Maurice gets involved. So Priest pulls off Miz's trousers. Funny! And Maurice gets up on the apron. You can all see where this is going. Priest gets in a face. Miz rolls up Priest. But to be fair, he didn't just roll him up. He used the ropes for leverage and pins Damian Priest. So there is an out. But again, as Michael Havlett said, just got pinned. Pinned by the goober who got his arse handed to him by Bad Bunny on Saturday.
Miz is going to lose in an inferior singles rematch at WrestleMania Backlash when he's got his tights and boots on.
Yeah.
No, that's what's going to happen.
But the thing is, I should have been more angry at this fact, but I did enjoy Maurice trying to help Miz get out of his trousers so he could just sell being in his pants, and both of them falling over before we got backstage.
Oh, that was funny. Wait a minute, Wellborn. Falling over is really, really funny and cannot destroy a wrestling match. What's next?
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Before this, they were backstage, and Nia Jax said the thing that we think every single week by going, why are you re-showing a replay? It only happened 20 minutes ago. Yeah, Nia! Yeah! And you know how we bloody feel every sodding week. So they cut this promo, and then we get the match. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And literally, halfway through this match, I started skipping forward because I was like, well, this is going to be a load of bollocks, and this is definitely going to be one we're going to skip for the five-star review. And then it happened. So we've talked about this before. Whenever WWE gets its hands on something, they want to love it, but they just love it so much they crush it like thingy stroking a rabbit in a Mice and Men, basically. Titus fell over. It's Titus World Slide. Right, he can't get in a ring now. Oh, well, that's it. Nia Jax says, my hole. get to say it all. Oh, no, that's dead. Mandy Rose falls over at WrestleMania. Well, she's sexy. We can't have her fall over. How about Nia Jax just contracts it from being in interaction with her backstage? She trips over as she walks into the ring. And for a split second, I went, oh, no, that was quite clearly deliberate. And then fighting and Jax hoys Mandy Rose back in the ring. But she falls over. She can't get back in the ring. And Mandy Rose sort of laughs. And I was like, okay, what happens now? And then they just left. They just went, they said, they were going, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Byron Saxon's like, W for Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. That's better than beating the tag team champions. No, no, it's not. You just left. You just counted, you got counted out whilst you're going, not worth it. And that was it. What the? Oh, my God. What was this?
Well, right, the match was nothing. So your skipping was well placed because it was just a nothing match. This was, without hyperbole, right? And I've watched enough of this tripe, so I can say this. This was, without hyperbole, the worst finish I have seen since Randy Orton RKO the Bone Girl. So like 48 hours, not really that long, to be honest, 24 hours even. But it was even worse, even worse. Can you still pull at least threads in a company where none of the threads are tied anymore? I don't know. This pulls away at the fabric of all of this show and everyone falls through the gap as a result. Everyone falls through the tear.
Yeah.
You just cannot. If this is real sport, you have to deduct or fine the competitors for not playing, for not turning up, for not competing, for forfeiture. Otherwise, the sport is brought into disrepute. You know, like, it's held in contempt by everybody else that plays it. So this cannot be. Worse still, this cannot be toasted, as you say, as them outsmarting the heels.
No!
Because if this meant anything, if any of this meant anything, they've just, like, lost their pay packet. They've gone to the bottom of a mythical queue for a future title shot. But no, this is WWE. They are actually the smart ones. We're the idiots. They're the smart ones because what are they going to do now? How are they going to get a title shot? Well, they'll probably get a tag team turmoil match 5 days before WrestleMania Backlash because that's what happened WrestleMania. I would turn up to Raw. I would bring my gear. I would talk myself into a match to get my TV time. Then I would just walk out and take every count out loss, never take a bump. That's what I'd do if I was a WWE superstar. I'd get all the wealth, I'd get all the trappings, I'd get all the fame, and I'd never have to fall on my back for a living. Wouldn't that be class? Even more so, I'd get my music played as I left. Who was in charge of the production that were like, well, yeah, Nia Jax and Shayna won by count out. Yeah, but like they've been totally outsmarted, haven't they? Play the music. Fly like a fox. Impossible. Something happens on the show every week that it is impossible to analyze within the confines of pro wrestling because the confines of pro wrestling are shattered into a million pieces when you try. That is this for this week. And like, I can't be like, we can't, this week's industry destroyer. You know, we can't make it a regular feature, but that's what it is. Like something every week just has like Vince McMahon Sr. I would say a turn in his grave, but like at this point, Vince McMahon Jr. probably rigged it up with disco lights or something and like and flips him on purpose. Like it just, yeah, like this kind of, this sort of stuff can't stand. And it's only by the monopoly that WWE established for so long that it does now. Like this makes Jim Cornette the way he is. You know? It's not Kenny Omega that made Jim Cornette the way he is. It's this.
Just Gary Lineker wants himself whilst playing football. They still had to finish the match. They didn't go, not worth it. See you later, lads.
Yeah. And then be like, joke's on you because now the pitch stinks in my and I'm the only one that doesn't have to smell it. Play my music. Get me some crisps.
I reckon there's a... I want them to be a big book. I want Vince to have this thing called the Big Book of Good Finishers that he breaks out every now and again. He slams it down the desk. Blows the dust off it. I hope they used it a few years ago. Boss, we're really struggling for a good finish to this tag team versus tag team match. Hang on. Boom! Finger. Drake Maverick pisses himself. Great work, boss. See you later. Oh, my God. This was so infuriating. Move on, Adam. You're going to give yourself an aneurysm if you're not careful. It's time for Bobby Lashley's Almighty Address, done by MVP. What? Okay. MVP is out there. It's an MVP promo at the top of the third hour. So, yeah, it is what it is. I like MVP. I love these promos. He's far better than if Bobby Lashley did it, let's be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And he puts McIntyre over. He says how much of a warrior he was, but he took his eyes off the prize for a second and it cost him. He said it was just a matter of time until Lashley applied the Hurt Lock and talked about how much pain McIntyre must be in today. Not, it turns out, because he immediately walked out and interrupted this promo. He said MVP had no idea how it felt. He knew it would come down to the Claymore or the Hurt Lock and admitted, yeah, he got caught. Talked about MVP milking Lashley for all he's worth. He wanted him to hype up Lashley, to keep feeding his ego so his head could be as big as possible so he could get a rematch and knock Lashley off his pedestal. Braun Strowman comes out. He says, "You get to the back of the line, pal." And then Randy Orton comes out and, as Hamflet alluded to, went, "Done with all that bollocks for the last 6 months. How about I be WWE champion again?" And I thought, please God, no. Postman Pierce comes out and says, "You're all making very good points. Thankfully, we've got a spot at the main event of the Raw after WrestleMania, but you're just the perfect size for ahead of WrestleMania Backlash," and he announced the match for later on. Your thoughts?
My thoughts were, Postman Pierce, the broadly credible authority figure in this era of WWE, was talking bollocks because they didn't all have good points. Braun Strowman and Randy Orton had quite good points.
Yeah.
McIntyre's not really got a case, has he? Like, took his eye off the ball on Sunday night. And far be it for me to talk about Braun Strowman's intelligence after 3 months of the stuff, but he was quite right. Like, back of the line, Drew. Make your baby face work for it again. Don't just give them this golden ticket back into a Raw main event, which again, as you've astutely pointed out, it's a good job that these all interrupted each other. Otherwise, how is this show going to go off the air? Like, what, were we just going to sit and stare at their faces in the Thunderdome or something? But luckily, Adam Pearce stumbles upon a triple threat. It's as basic as it gets. It's as rote and as tropey as it gets. And the outcome is a friggin' rematch.
Well, it's got a bit of added spice we're going to get to, though. As you mentioned, yeah, for a dumbass, right, Braun was very accurate here. And also, Drew McIntyre, how about, Drew, when you're in the Hurt Lock and you get yourself standing and you run towards the ropes, just get in the ropes, and then the ref would have to break it, wouldn't it?
You know what, I've been too harsh on Drew as well there, because he's just trying to live by the mythical rules of WWE and how it works. And he's probably thinking back to last summer and he's like, right, hang on. So I beat Randy like 4 times. So do you get 3 goes at this or what? So he's probably thinking like he's on like his second life or something.
Yeah.
He's probably just thinking, now this is the crack, isn't it? Like, how many times did I have to beat you, Randy, before you finally get off? Like, he's perfectly entitled to believe that it's his next go at this belt.
Right. Elias, Jackson Ryker, they're in the ring. And I'm thinking, well, Elias and Jackson Ryker, we're getting a big return here, guys, because we all know that Elias does something annoying and then someone comes back and murders them. We didn't get that. Every time he tried to play his guitar, Xavier Woods' trombone played. Yep. And then out came the New Day. They said, because Elias and Ryker had been apologising to Shane McMahon, they said they shouldn't be apologising to Shane. They should be apologising to the whole tag division for getting their ass whooped by one man at WrestleMania. Wood said, we'd never show our faces again if that happened to us. They do the shame thing. And then Elias goes, wait a second, you got beaten by Big Jord. I did like elements of this, mainly Kofi Kingston referencing DMX and Xavier Woods referencing Adventure Time. Have you actually got on a complete tangent? Have you shown your kids Adventure Time yet?
I've never seen Adventure Time, and I'm told that I should watch it, and it's one that, to treat the kids with.
I genuinely don't know if it's a kid's show or not, because I remember like stumbling across it hungover on one afternoon and going, sorry, is this meant to be for kids? Because it's bloody bonkers. Jake the Dog, Finn the Human, it's wonderful.
I just want to say, by the way, because it was WrestleMania, it was very busy. It was nice, the little reference to DMX here, because somebody died on Friday that all of the UK was desperately sad about, in total mourning of, and DMX was that guy. The end. Wilborn, if the New Day don't care about losing matches, I don't care about the New Day. Can we skip?
Oh, yes, we can. 10 minutes of just, I love the New Day, but I do not love Elias and Jackson Ryker. They hit the daybreak on Elias. They won. Let's move on. Enough of all that. It's now time for this.
It's short, it's crap, it's wrestling related. The 5-star review review.
Nailed it! Oh, he's not
here. I will never do that noise. I will never do that noise. I would never steal that bit. Oh, please never do that noise ever. I like to watch that. Other people just got to listen to it. Sidri, please, if you can hear this, wherever you are, please.
Anyway, this week's five-star review is brought to you by Mimi. If you want your name associated with the five-star review, if you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling-related, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, leave us a five-star review on iTunes, just like Mimi, who writes, "Hello! After looking over some of these reviews, I've noticed a lot of negativity and about 14 different spellings of Sidwick being my favourite. I say ignore the haters and stay..." Can you do the word that he says that I can't say, please?
Deft.
Sidewick. With that being said, thank you to everyone at What Culture for the daily content that almost makes watching the WWE television semi-bearable. Between the Dudley Boys' brutal analysis and Wilborn's unwarranted but unshakable optimism, you guys have become a staple in my commute to work every day. For a post-WrestleMania Raw five-star review, yes, Mimi, I asked, and you have delivered.
Love it.
Would you please dig up the Simon Dean Stone Cold and Maven segment from April 4th on Raw 2005. Keep up the awesome work. Mimi from Connecticut. Mimi, thank you so much for this. Michael Hamlet, what's the backstory to this?
What a collection of names, by the way. What a collection of names. I don't know which voice to put on here. Do you put on like the old voice that was given to Ted Mosby's character in How I Met Your Mother? Or do you put on our old friend from the Ruth Aggression documentary about WWE not sucking no more? Because this is going to shock you, this, Wilborn. I'm glad I can see that you're seated, and I hope everybody else listening to this is. Weird thing, right, in WWE, glad they don't do this anymore. New guys would try and get their act over, and then legends would come and just destroy them. That sounds a bit wild, right? I know that, like, it's hard to picture now. Times change, don't they? This is the thing. Mm-hmm. Time moves so fast that you can't believe it. It's almost like watching this in black and white. It's like there's a sepia tinge over the whole lens. They'd never do anything like this now. They'd never do anything.
16 years ago!
If you can believe it, there was once upon a time that rather than just trying to get all the new stars over, they would just feed them to old legends. They would just... You know how, like, at WrestleMania when Bailey to Belly, both Bella twins, mm-hmm. to make a point that the best wrestler from 2020 was not going to be kicked around by two Hall of Famers. Like, they wouldn't do that back in 2005. So odd. Yeah. I'll say this much. They were in the same building that WrestleMania had happened in the night before. And I can't pretend that Simon Dean and Maven had any worth at this point. Mm. So if you're gonna run this segment, you trace your finger down the roster until you land at the people that can probably absorb this.
The irony of this, of course, didn't Maven actually go on to do like QVC-style sort of TV shopping stuff?
Well, looking at him here, couldn't he go on to do any job he wanted in the world?
Yeah.
Maven is unbelievable. I love Maven, right? His music was a total popper, that original Tough Enough theme. Mm-hmm. Like, that little riff would hit. He was like, oh, here he comes. It's like glass breaking V2. Like, it's Maven. And then you're like, oh, Christ, Maven ain't going to do any damage. But I think he might, you know? He looked jacked here, looked super ripped. I don't think it was the entire Simon system that was in his body, and I think he's gone on record as saying as much. Got to be honest. Every time I watch a Maven thing, as I did here, I was like, Simon Maven. Like,
yeah.
You're putting guys back from the Ruthless Aggression era. If Bruce Pritchard is obsessed with making it seem like Triple H's NXT was an entire failure, get Maven back in. Yeah. Put a belt on him.
So Lillian Garcia introduces Simon Dean as a service to the city of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, massive shout-outs to 411 Mania, who clearly reviewed this segment, or maybe even wrote about it at the time, because I've got this verbatim from what they wrote down. So I didn't have to do any work for doing this, which is great for a 10-minute segment. So they've got the whole Simon system set up, and Simon Dean says, "As you people can plainly see, there is a beautiful physical specimen in this ring who just happens to go by the name of..." Bollocks to you, little girls here. Maven! Yay!
Young Bucks pose of his incredible physique.
He says, "Maven looks as good as he does because he is a product of the patented Simon system," and a few other things. Now, I know how you people in LA are obsessed with your looks, and I can't blame you, because what if you want to look as good as Maven? Well, now you can, without expensive liposuctions, bad diets, or Botox injections, because all you need is my patented Simon system. And Maven says, "Excuse me, Simon, I was under the impression that LA was full of beautiful people. But after scanning this crowd, I think LA stands for Lord Asses. What's the deal?
I popped so much for that.
And Sam says, well, the deal is these people, they don't care about their bodies. They act like they do, but instead they'd rather sit around in their seats eating nachos and drinking beer and watching TiVo. People, that's not the way to live. The patented Simon system will change your life, and I defy anyone to tell me otherwise. The glass shatters. Out comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. How does he look when he walks out?
I'm scared of him, so I'll just be diplomatic when I say this. He looks 2 years retired from his job.
Roof comes off the place. Obviously, JR and King selling this, saying this is bigger than when they won the basketball or whatever it is. I don't know. He says, it's good to be back here, Los Angeles. If you're ready to turn this son bitch up, give me a hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let me see 20,000 middle fingers. Now, if there's one thing I can't stand, go on, Steve. It's a sorry piece of trash like this, selling vitamins and protein power and protein. Every time he does this, there's the what chant. I hate the what chant, so I'm just going to skip past it. DVDs, this kind of garbage in my ring. Now, I was in the back listening to your little ass, and it seems to me like you've got a little problem with people drinking beer. You got a problem with beer drinkers? And everyone's like, yeah, get him, Steve.
Love any of that kind of stuff where you've got like that. It's the holdover from the attitude era of like these alpha males where there's only like three things that matter in life. It's like like beer and girls, and then they can't think of a third one, so they're like, and girls' titties or something like that. If you're against any of those things, then get out. All of American pop culture through WWE is a fucking toga party. That's all it is.
That's the sound part, isn't it? You don't like any of those things? You can get out.
Well, I guess you mustn't like America.
I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Randy Marsh writes all promos from the Ruthless Aggression era.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Anyway, Simon, quite rightly, is furious in all this. He says, excuse me, Mr. Rattlesnake. I love the way he keeps calling him Mr. Rattlesnake, by the way. I've paid for this time, if you don't mind. And Austin says, shut up. He says, pay for this time. How much you pay for that haircut? Because if you paid $5 for that haircut, you paid $4.95 too much. Oh, got him!
Got him.
And they test him. I love this line. What's your problem? You ain't got no hair? Steve, not everyone who's bald just wants to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Some of them just given up a fight they were quite clearly losing. and Andy Murray will attest to that. He says, you'll never come close to Stone Cold Steve Austin. You think? In the midst of all this, I don't know what's going on with Simon Dean, but Stone Cold just goes, look at me when I'm talking, you little purple bastard.
I'd love that. Look, he's just like, he's got free reign over these poor, overscripted jabronis that need to get over next week. And he's just like, I can come and I can cut you up. try and get yourself back over when you're carved in half and Vince McMahon loathed you. Bye, everybody.
Austin says he's a businessman though. He's got a proposition. He says, I'll try a protein shake if you try one of my beers. And I felt like that was the moment the light bulb goes off and goes, why are my beers middle of the light when I could have my own beers? Simon, this is a great line, by the way, that he's not against drinking beer, but he'll drink it if it's low carb beer. And everyone's like, that's worse than not beer. What are you doing?
Honestly, I'm pretty sure Simon Dean could have got away with selling he would like killed somebody in the front row of his parents or something like that. But like, that's fine. But as long as he, when he's done it, he celebrates by having a real man's beer.
I watched Gogglebox the other day, and there was two blokes on there trying to sell like beer that makes you get a six pack, or, you know, healthy beer. That's what it's all about. And they were like, oh, cool. You value your business here at £3 million. How many sales have you made in 3 years? And they went, 50,000. Excuse me? Sorry?
Not like the Total Legends at Top Rope, of course.
No, exactly. Top Rope Brewing. Still available, I believe. The What Culture WrestleMania Survivor Craig. 45 quid, 12 craft beers. All in user code Here's Why at checkout, and you get free delivery. Look at that.
Look at that.
Anyway, Dean says, Mr. Rattlesnake, nothing goes better with a low-carb beer than a patented, delicious Simon Shake. Austin says, are you going to try the beer? Then he says, oh, I'm game. And then Austin just... could just give him the beer at that point and goes, what was that stupid look on your face? Oh, wait, you can't, because you were born like that. Oh, got him again.
2-0.
2-0. Again, Simon, like, this is the problem. My issue with this, right, is this isn't crap in the way of, like, yeah, these jobbers here. Like, if you look at the responses from Simon Dean, his character's spot on.
Yeah, he's really trying.
He goes, drink a beer. And Simon Dean goes, have you got a glass? Like, that's the point. Like, no, you don't get a glass. Drink out of the can. Like, then you get a drink out of a glass.
It's like one of them, honestly, man. And the fans. It's like Ric Flair telling a story about getting, like, knifed or something. Went, like, because the fans hated him so much in the 80s. Like, that'd be Simon Dean saying, well, what was it? Why the LA, the crowd that, like, turned on you when you were trying to, like, when they tipped your car over when you were leaving the building? Why? I wanted my beer in a glass.
They were ready to jump the barricade. Well, that's enough. I'm having this. He said he wanted a glass. Drinks the beer. He starts to drink the beer, holding his nose, and then immediately just spit it all out. And then, again, Simon Dean steals the sodding show here, because he says, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, but I do need a few seconds to work off these calories. And he does what I can only describe as floor shagging push-ups.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's doing. Yeah.
And Maven's like, yeah, Maven just counselling along with it. It's great. And then Austin goes, all right, do five more. And he does. He just nails out five press-ups really good. Do five more, do five more, do five more. And then... he goes, oh, have you got, you want 10 more presents? Give me a hell yeah. And they're like, yeah, exercise, beer and titties. Yeah, that's what I like. And then Simon Dean just gives up because clearly they're not impressed by him doing press. So he just does 10 on his knees. He's like, ah, bollocks, who cares? We all know where this is going.
Hey, you're going to get to the next bit. How bizarre was it that a bit that's about to happen next, like mirrored what happened in our one with Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar? Like, one tiny improv was the funniest bit of the whole thing. Yes. And it was the exact same kind of improv. So, I was absolutely howling at this next bit.
Simon Dean says, he's a bit out of breath, and he goes, all right, your turn to drink. And Austin goes, your turn.
Your turn. That's him and Angle. Like, no wonder they were so funny. The cowboy acts together. I'm amazed they got through the segments. Should have been mimicking each other's crack.
Oh, God. Why is that?
There's like, next five-star review. Find another one of these. Because they're unbelievable. Your turn.
All the great writing, and it's just say what the person said back to you with a funny voice, which is basically my entire shtick here at What Culture. Anyway, Austin.
Funny stories.
Austin has a sip. He spits it all out, disgusted by it all, because it's not a real man's beer. It doesn't taste like bacon or beer or titties or whatever. I don't know.
Titty, I wanted a can of titties.
He says it's pathetic, it's worthless. Sounds like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a brand new formula. And Maven steps up and goes, oh, I think I see what the problem here is. You see, this protein shake is a man's drink. And maybe you just can't handle it. Which is great again, because they're like, no, he's more of a man. No, he drinks, he likes beer and exercise and titties. So stop it, you. But again, another, like, physical comedy bit. He goes, oh, maybe you just can't handle it. I like my man Simon. Again, like last week, slaps him on the back. He immediately pours the protein shake over Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we get a new effed up chant.
I mean, what is funny about this? We're laughing at these. Oh, yeah, it was just like last week. Like, these were only, like, 2 years apart.
Yeah.
It's, like, was it 7 years you're supposed to wait before you repeat a bit? There's two in one segment.
Of course, Austin drops Maven, beats up Simon Dean all around ringside, hoys him into the steps, hoys him into the barricade, comes around, mule kicks Maven in his dick. Dean gets put in the ring, stomps a mud hole in him. Austin stunners Dean, goes outside. Oh, sorry, before he stunners Dean, he spits beer in his face. Yeah, now you'll drink it. Yeah, you prick. Gets Maven in, which must be like a genuine, like, as much as it's like, getting in that ring, knowing I'm about to get stunned here on the Raw after WrestleMania. It's a career highlight, isn't he? Lines up Maven, two middle fingers, stunner, beers, celebrates, leaves. I'm still always so impressed by the arm on the bloke who throws Stone Cold Steve Austin those beers. That's genuinely one of the highlights of this segment again.
Yeah, it was Mark Eaton's arm. They sacked him.
Cool. Well, anyway, let's go to the comments to cheer ourselves up. Once again, these doing Rock Reflect reviews. Myself, Michael Hamblett, Michael Sidgwick, even though he's not here, Daddy Boys, or anyone at What Culture Wrestling. Dina writes, greatest gimmick of all time. Which it was, to be fair, Simon Dean. I bloody loved it.
I thought I was doing one about Stone Cold Steve Austin. I was like, ooh, hot take.
I love this. This comment's great, which is because it's one of those ones where, all right, you made a valid point, just like Dina did. And then inexplicably, you've taken a jab at something you don't need to. Z the Game writes, Simon Dean was a phenomenal jobber. He really proved that if you're good and try to do your best, there's nothing wrong with being an enhancement talent. By the way, he's bigger than probably 95% of the AEW roster, lol. They're such a goofy company.
God. Oh, man. Grim discourse. I got the other edge of that double-edged sword at the weekend by daring to suggest that, like, WWE might have got that Chris Jericho thing measured right. AEW fans were livid with me for saying, "Are you fucking Mark?" AEW won that conversation. Come on, just like they won the war. It's hell out there. It's hell out there.
They didn't. They lost. On the final show, they lost. Oh, by the demographics. Nah, mate. They lost. Take the L.
Okay. Last goal, Wilbons.
Manuel Seminario writes, 12 years ago, writes this, going back in the annals. I love these comments, because who are you trying to impress? Like, do you think women are there going, oh, I just can't find me a man anywhere? I suppose I could find one in the YouTube comment section, because Manuel writes, damn, women are crazy for a buff guy. But hey, I'm not judging, since I work on biceps and abs all the time at the gym.
I love those guys. That's what people forget about these. We take the piss out what they type, but it's a good job we didn't see them in real life, because I don't know about you, Yvonne, 99% of these people are jacked monsters that want to crush our little pencil next.
Yeah. Doom Guy writes, Kevin Owens needs the Simon system.
God. Great.
WWE Wrestling and Gaming. I don't think this is an official affiliate, although it could well be with this comment. Can you imagine Dean Ambrose like this? Lol. What? No. Why do you think he left and became John Moxley in AEW? Probably because Vince wrote that. Hey,
I love that.
Dean system, more like Simon Dean Ambrose system.
That's what's happened. Brainworms. It's just like, same name, long-term storytelling. It's like one hop, skip and a jump away from the Fiend, honestly. Dean, you say? Dean, believe in the Simon system, you say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one had me laughing for about 2 minutes because it's just gibberish, but it also is really funny. Mr. Butler.
Right.
This doesn't make sense, just a heads up. It's just a funny series of six words. Watch that. 12 minutes invested in it, and then thought, take what, I need to write this. Excellent theme in Toilet on Friday.
I was going to say, that's like Yoda working in WWE, but I can't tell you what job he's got based on those comments. I'll reorder that and make it work.
Mr. Butler, you finished in there. Yeah, 1 second. But the winner
The unquestionable winner. Got, that public nervousness every time he's like in a public toilet, like being caught a little short. Every time there's a splash, he just tries to make the glass smash noise to obscure it. Where's old Butler's? I think he's in the toilet, and then just put your ear to the toilet door and you can just hear somebody going, no, 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 no. Yeah, he's in there.
I think I told this story before when one of the first days I went shopping with the people who were in my halls in first year. We're walking around. It's all a bit awkward. You're all sort of like, do I like you or do I just sort of sleep near you in the halls, basically? Yeah. One of the lads who was also called Adam and walking around Costco and someone knocked something off a shelf and he went, da-da-da-da-da-da. I went, you're all right, you are. Yeah, you stick with me. That will be fine, you two. Oh, God. But the unquestionable winner of the comment section today is one Peter Gupta. This is, honestly, this should get him a job in WWE. Simon Dean, more like Seaman Dean.
Comes out with Kurt's milk truck. It's come!
anyway.
Seaman, that's like bloody a Michael Scott Spoonerism of like demon seed when they used to talk about Cain's beard. Oh, Jesus. More like Stone Cum, Steve Austin, yeah? Oh, God. Brilliant.
So thanks to Mimi from Connecticut for that one. If you want to suggest something short, crap and wrestling related for us to review instead of a god-awful Raw segment, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, leave us a 5-star review on there. Oh, God, and now we return to Raw and the Firefly flipping funhouse.
Well, Firefly cum house. Because Bray Wyatt's found himself in a sticky situation.
So yeah, they're all. The thing is, I still quite like the Firefly Funhouse after all this, after everything. It plays, and I go, maybe things are going to be okay for Bray Wyatt, because all the puppet pals are there. Rambling Rabbit, the perennial baby face of the Firefly Funhouse, welcomes us in and welcomes back Bray Wyatt, who walks in. His face says, ha-ha, I'm back, guys, I'm happy. But his eyes say, yeah, Vince changed his mind on WrestleMania weekend about a 6-month storyline, didn't he? He says it's great to be back with true friends. Abby the Witch once again steals the show by just effing and jeffing left and right. And Bray Wyatt goes, witches be wilding. So Rambling Rabbit says, oh, it's going to be lonely without her. And Bray Wyatt grabs him by the throat, pulls him in close. Rambling Rabbit's like, I'm going to die again. But Bray Wyatt kisses him and says, huh, he didn't expect that, then hoys him across the room. He says, this is a brand new start. This is a new season with new friends and a new me. I feel reborn. There's, music playing, gospel music playing. He heals Huskers. He heals Mercy. He banishes Abby the Witch, basically. Says, no more clout chasing. This is going to be a big bag, strong funhouse. And he waves goodbye to us all. What did you think?
There's two fiends on Raw. There's two of these. Like, I agree with you. I thought the delivery was okay. What it wasn't was the New Day, no selling a pretty crushing defeat.
Mm.
Like, he was trying to show the... I can't believe I'm going to like compare Shawn Michaels. He was trying to sell the duality of man. he was looking at hands. It just, they weren't his hands. They were people with puppets on them, weren't they? Like, yeah, I thought this was a reasonably nuanced acting performance from Bray Wyatt here, trying very hard to do a couple of things at once and doing them reasonably well. Where does it end? It ends in the Fiend. It always ends in the Fiend. It ends in the Fiend being burned. It ends in the Fiend becoming the Lobster. It ends in the Fiend being rebirthed. Ends in the Fiend looking a bit like a member of the Shield. They can do what they like with this stupid character, and I will never, ever, ever give a shit about it ever again, because after a month of giving a toss, they broke it in Hell in a Cell 2019. It's always that. Like, this was fine. really, really pop about Foul-Mouthed Abby the Witch. Really makes me laugh, that whole gag. I'd welcome a little bit more of that than we get generally. Eventually, Christ Almighty, give the people what they want, you know, like give them Liv Morgan versus Alexa Bliss or whatever, whatever's the latest in their Sister Abigail wank bank, you know. But like, I don't expect me to suddenly watch a decent promo and be like, I think you could put the belt on that guy. Tried twice to put the belt on that guy and everybody laughed at the belt.
$6,000. That's why they laughed at that bloody belt.
$6,000.
People actually paid money for that.
£6,000. Tell you what, it's £6,000.
Who do you think feels stupider? People who bought that belt or people who invested in Beanie Bunnies all those years ago? Sorry, not even Beanie Bunnies. I've got a bloody rambling rabbit on the plate.
It's been a long weekend. But come on, Wilbon, WrestleMania was 24 hours ago. It's in the past. I'm about to work.
Right, main event time. Who could possibly win this? It's Braun Strowman, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. McIntyre works with his arch nemesis quite early on in this match to suplex Strowman.
Like, this was so bang average, this whole thing. Sorry to interrupt you, play-by-play. This was so bang average that when you get something like this, you're kind of thinking to yourself, you know what would really bring a bit of life into another Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre confrontation is if a giant man made a train noise happen.
But this is the problem. This is the biggest loss of WrestleMania weekend. He didn't make the train noise happen, did he?
No, the mind wanders to the things that, like, just it shouldn't.
He ran out, got outside, and I went, oh, well, here we go. Here's the highlight of the Raw after WrestleMania. And then he just ran around. Maybe Thomas knows what's about to happen, because instead of running around and laying everyone out, he just got smashed in the face with the steel steps. And Thomas was like, well, I'm not. Oh, Thomas, my God. Imagine if when Braun Strowman faces whoever's got the title for the title, Ringo Starr makes his introduction.
Said Strowman.
That's such a nice joke, by the way. Ringo stole the bat. I'm still annoyed.
Bruce Willis. Bruce Pritchard is a fat controller.
I'm so annoyed.
Sorry, it's that comment section from the YouTube guy again. Thomas is a wank engine.
That's literally the tweet I had lined up on Saturday night, and then he hit the side of the sun and went, oh, delete that. Can't use that anymore.
Delete that. So much for my 300 likes of a spoke. He's ripped the wall of a cage off, Lynn.
Where are we? Orton hoys McIntyre over the announce desk. A penny for Adnan's thoughts at this point, by the way, when he has to dodge out of the way of Drew McIntyre being thrown at him. Welcome to the party, pal. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Strowman runs over Orton, hits both men with the steel steps, gets back in the ring, gets hit with a draping DDT, which is, of course, more deadly than being set on fire, as we found out over the weekend. RKO to Braun Strowman. Orton's covering him, and he gets his head claymored off by Drew McIntyre. 1, 2, 3. It's Lashley versus McIntyre. Not a backlash, a WrestleMania backlash. This is like me desperately trying to crowbar in the name of the upcoming pay-per-view on our podcast descriptions.
Just so much stupid stuff goes on that you don't feel like you've got the energy to have a go at WrestleMania backlash. Like, that they snuck on night two of WrestleMania. And I remember thinking, like, we should probably address that in the WrestleMania review. But I was still exhausted from a jack-in-the-box-like structure. They don't give you a chance, man. They just get away with stuff. I'll wait for the best Raw of this build to have a go at WrestleMania Backlash as a pay-per-view title. Like, is this where we're headed? Is it, like, honestly, is it? Remember when, like, you start to laugh at the things you used to fume over? I remember genuinely being like, they're going to call the pay-per-view Elimination Chamber. Was No Way Out not clear enough? And they're going to name a pay-per-view Hell in a Cell rather than just having the main event be a Hell in a Cell. Do they think we're thick? And now they've just taken to, like, WrestleMania Backlash. I can't wait for Royal Rumble 2. I can't wait for SummerSlam in the snow when they're still calling like December shows SummerSlam or something like that. But, like, three things left. Like, they're going to just extend it to wrestlers because there's like the three things left that have still got brand value. Please welcome The Rock, Roman Reigns.
I still remember there being like, I wonder what the main event of the upcoming pay-per-view Fatal Four Way is going to be. Jesus Christ. And we haven't even bloody finished yet because McIntyre celebrating, MVP walks out on the stage.
Love it.
And Drew McIntyre gets jumped by two men who are presumably now a part of the Hurt Business. Or, as I saw someone saying, I completely parroted on the news this morning,
Retribution!
Because T-Bar and Mace, wearing their gear from Retribution, attacked Drew McIntyre. The only person who's done well out of Retribution is called Slapjack, for Christ's sake.
That was my first thought, was like, Slapjack's dodged a bullet again, just like how he was the only one that didn't get a stupid name and the only one that didn't get a stupid mask. He's now the only one not involved in this stupid storyline.
Imagine that. Imagine, like, remember when they teased Taker coming back because the lights went down, the lights came back up, and his hat's in the ring. Lights go down, lights come up. Oh my God, that's a paper plate with a face drawn on it in the ring.
But it's been taken from catering, so it's still got some dinner on it. Why, man? Time to scroll through Dijakovic's Twitter feed from the other week saying, like, the past is the past, or whatever it was. And, like, a picture of his mask and nothing else, and Retribution was split up, and it was, like, all the, I don't know what he even calls his fans, the Domomaniacs. Like, they were just like, hey, this is it. Our guy's going to get his goal. We're going to get to feast our eyes. No. T-Bar is forever. T-Bar is for, you're not just, T-Bar's not just for Christmas. T-Bar for life. It's exactly what they say about the members of the BWO. Rhea Ripley's the other guys.
I'm done with the Raw after me. Let's wrap up, shall we?
Hideous. Like a hideous wrestling show, this.
See you next week. Right, let us know your thoughts on the Raw after WrestleMania on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. It's a good job this week, wasn't it? We've gone an hour and a half talking about these bollocks with just the two of us.
I'm sorry to you. I'm sorry to people listening. I'm just sorry we all picked this, you know? Like, wrestling gets under your skin and then you kind of stuck with it forever, whether you mean it to be or not. I'm sorry.
Cycling around with the kids with this massive smile on his face, and his wife's going to think it's because he's having quality family time. In reality, he's going, I had to review that bollocks.
That's it. Yeah, he's read the results online. He knew that if he read the results, he could present himself as like the happiest father on holiday. The kids aren't going to believe their luck. They're getting extra treats. They're getting more spending money. They're getting sweets all day.
Woke up this morning feeling fine.
Two fiends on a show, but review's not mine.
Oh, at what culture WWE on Twitter? You can follow Michael Hamflet at
Michael Hamflet.
You can spam on Michael Sidgwick with Lily Pictures at M Sidgwick. Follow me at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be previewing the good show, SmackDown, on Friday. We'll be previewing NXT later on today because the wrestling never stops. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to Michael Hamflet. Thank you for joining us. Thanks once again to Mimi from Connecticut for suggesting today's five-star review. If you want to do that, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling. Leave us a five-star review and suggest something short, crap, and wrestling-related. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.